97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. We're on. We're back. It's Wednesday. It is storming in a lot of areas even as we speak. So just expect some slowdowns on the road. There was standing water as we were coming in there on Highway 40 this morning already in some of the spots. I mean, not bad, but it's going to get worse because it had just started to rain when I headed to work this morning. And it looks like, according to radar, they're getting heavy rain further to the south, and it is going to last pretty much through the entire show this morning. So till we're off the air at 9.
Well, I wanted to power wash today, so I hope that's still going to be able to happen later.
If you took advantage of the beautiful weather yesterday and you washed your car, guess what? Hopefully they have a rain policy at your local car wash and you can swing back through there because it's going to get heavy rain throughout the morning. Of course, on the other side of that, it's going to be 78 degrees this afternoon when all this clears out of here. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good deal. That is pretty good. Glad you're with us this morning. A couple of technical issues here. If you are joining us this morning on the interwebs, if you're on the radio, this won't affect you at all. Does it affect the? I assume it affects the app too. Is this right?
I don't know if it affects. Okay, so I don't think it does, but it may.
So if you listen on the Odyssey app, you'll have to let us know on the text line if this affects you or not. But we've had to make a little bit of a technical change here to what we stream. And that would include YouTube and Rumble and X and Facebook. And that is the music that we play in and out of segments has had to be removed from the stream. And don't get mad at me. don't get mad at Ethan and don't get mad at Kim. This is apparently a legal issue. This drives me nuts. I'm just going to tell you this up front. We are a commercial radio station. I've gotten into this fight with Facebook so many times when they come back to me and say, we've deleted your program from such and such date because you violated our music policy. My answer to them is always the same. We are a commercial radio station. We pay BMI, whatever the organization is, we pay them a fee in order to be able to play music on this radio station. However, they want a double dip, and they also want the same amount of money if that same song plays on the internet. So that's cost prohibitive to pay twice, and for that reason, we've had to eliminate the music that you hear in and out of segments on the web. Did I get that? Did I explain that correctly there, Ethan?
Yeah, I think so. YouTube's been flagging us, so we can't ever get monetized. We can't get a lot of stuff from YouTube, so you will not be hearing basically any of the beds we play. You will not hear the national anthem anymore.
You'll hear some lovely elevator music.
There will be some elevator background music.
Here are your options. You have the songs are titled Dance Pop, Rock, Night Driving, Into Space, Daydreaming, Acoustic Cinematic. I mean, Feeding the Ducks.
I was like, you got to play Feeding the Ducks.
What is Feeding the Ducks? Okay, we'll go with Feeding the Ducks because I'd like to know what that sounds like. So that's some background music that you'll hear instead.
So our streaming service lets us put background music in. So when we go to commercial, they won't be hearing what we're doing. They're going to hear elevator music, basically.
Feeding the Ducks.
Until we come back.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. The reason we're trying to explain it is that I know we're going to get questions because this is going to be really the first morning when most of you would notice it directly. I mean, we've been trying to, some of the other programs have been trying to, there's a button Ethan would have to push over there behind the scenes stuff that would cut music out or cut music in. And sometimes people complain, hey, you forgot to push that button because we're not hearing the interview. And it's just got very confusing. So we've decided ultimately to remove it altogether. And
so basically, they should just not hear music.
Correct.
That's the only thing it should affect you guys.
And you know, the sad part about that is that I used to love being able to have so much more control over what music I played. So I could play Sammy Hagar and Van Halen in every bump. And then they started telling me I couldn't do that anymore. So maybe we can correct that now that we're not having to deal with this issue on streaming.
You, Mark.
What do you think, Ethan?
I mean, technically, why wouldn't we be able to play regular music now?
I'm paying Sammy those rights. There's no reason why we can't go back to regular bump music then.
That is your fight.
Yes. All right, I'm down for that fight. I'm gonna go fight for the people this morning. All right, there were some big primaries yesterday, right? The biggest upset of all came down in Florida, where just when we think, you know what, maybe this DSA thing is kind of localized. This is not going to have an impact in a red state. And boy, did Florida prove that theory wrong last night. This Venman guy, he was one of the Venman brothers who hated Trump in the first administration. Remember, Donald Trump got impeached over that phone call with Ukraine. That was a Venman who spearheaded that whole thing. So now one of the Venman brothers is running for Congress in Florida. He's a sweetheart of the left. They love him. They love the Venmans because they hate Donald Trump. So they put $16 million in his primary in Florida to make sure he was the candidate. And a DSA candidate named Nixon is her last name, came out of nowhere, spent less than $1 million and beat this guy by 6 or 7 points. I mean, like 100,000 votes. She trounced him in Florida. And I don't know why, because I'm assuming these were Democrat voters. I don't know who turned out to vote for her, if it was a vote against Hakeem Jeffries and that group and Schumer, who all endorsed him, or if it was there's just that many crazies who want to nationalize healthcare and privatize companies and do all this other crazy stuff, open borders and grant amnesty that the DSA candidates want. But this was a huge upset in the primary in Florida. Now, what happens in the general election? Florida's deep red. Deep red. I can't envision this woman who has a chance down there against Ashley Moody. I just can't envision, because Moody is the one that was appointed to fill out Marco Rubio's term when he became Secretary of State. And I just can't imagine that she would lose in Florida to a DSA candidate. But there's clearly more strength there than we kind of banked on. So those were the big prime. That was the only really big upset last night, I would say. Everybody else kind of won as expected, generally speaking. I mean, that's a general statement. But that was the big news last night out of the primaries. Yesterday, we talked with Wiggins about the race in Alaska, where they had the Democrats ran another candidate with the same name to try to confuse voters, but the Republican senator won in the jungle primary up there and will face off against the Democrat for the general election. So, disaster avoided in Alaska, even though ranked choice voting continues to suck. We can all agree on that. So lots of that stuff to get to. Apparently, we're friends again with Canada for 3 days before we tell them to, go pound sand again. I thought I heard that news this morning. The president has suspended tariffs
to 50%
for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 days while they hammer out a memorandum of understanding that basically says, hey, we're neighbors. Like if you went to dinner with your neighbor once a month and every time your neighbor expected you to pay, you'd get tired of that after a while. That's the Canadian-U.S. relationship for the past 50 years. We've been carrying them for 50 years. And Donald Trump stood up and said, well, this isn't fair. Why do you tariff our stuff coming in, but you don't expect us to tariff Canadian goods coming into the U.S.? No. We're not doing it that way. And the Canadians acted like we had committed treason or something because we suddenly want to be treated fairly by our neighbors to the north. It's no more than that. It's really that simple. I mean, that guy up there hates Donald Trump for daring to suggest that we should have fair trade with him. They think we should continue to bleed money to Canada. And Donald Trump said, no, it's pretty simple. And I think clearly Trump's about to win that fight because he's going to give him 3 days to reach an agreement. And I'm pretty sure Canada will buckle, eh?
Oh, nice.
Don't you think?
I guess I don't fully understand it because I know the Supreme Court just slapped down the tariffs. So Trump was having to repay it. So then I was a little confused because I was trying to think, okay, how is he able to do this with Canada now?
There are many different ways to skin a duck. And I think that's what it comes down to. He found other ways to apply tariffs and, you know, it's fair's fair. That's all. That's all that comes down to. Ooh, just saw lightning outside the studio here. So the storms are coming. I tell you what, I went a little long in that segment, Ethan. Why don't we take a quick break here? We will play our national anthem. We had people questioning yesterday whether we played it or not. We will play our national anthem. Are they going to be able to hear this on the stream? You will not hear the national anthem on the stream. I apologize for that, but again,
you'll hear Feeding the Ducks.
Don't blame me. Blame the Facebook and YouTube and all of these jerks that want to charge us extra money when we play music on the internet. I don't know what they're all just, I guess they're just greedy. I that's all I can figure. Anyway, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
What Medicare for All does is it does away with the private insurance market. Right. It now has one single payer. That's why we call it single payer. Right. One insurance. And that is the government of the United States.
Yeah. Where does this moron think we've been? This is this Al Sayed idiot in Michigan talking about universal health care. Remember, if you want to like your doctor, you can keep him. Forget about it. These people are insane. And he's admitting up front that if you currently like your health care, you are screwed so that they can give free stuff to everybody else.
Not a day goes by that we are hearing from our farmers and our agricultural workers that because of these illegal tariffs, because of this absurd immigration policy and this improper usage of this lawless ICE agency, that we are now seeing how their costs are going up.
You got it. This is the angle the Democrats are going to be taking throughout this election. They're going to try to blame increased prices on the president and everything else, including Wes Moore. There, the governor of Maryland is trying to blame ICE for lawlessness in the United States.
Tiffany, why hasn't McConnell released the video yet or responded to Governor Beshear? When is he going to release something like a video or more information? How's he doing? How's his condition?
Yeah, that was them asking questions to Mitch McConnell's chief of staff, who just walked away. He had nothing to say. Sort of like his boss. He had nothing to say. Where's Mitch been for 2 months? Oh, no comment. No comment.
Give our Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States, and if so, why or how?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not that informed on national security, so.
Oh, horrible. A horrible debate performance for Darlene Graham, Lindsey Graham's sister, last night. You know, this went to a runoff down there because she didn't get 50%. I think the president and some other people rushed in and endorsed her out of their friendship to Lindsey, and they assumed she would win 50% of the vote in the primary. Well, she didn't. So she's in a runoff election with Ralph Norman, I think is his name. He's a current congressman from South Carolina. And, man, her debate performance last night, she might have just lost this race down there to this Norman guy because they asked her this simple question about U.S.-Taiwan policy. Why didn't somebody prepare her for that?
I know she didn't have a lot of time, but, I mean,
she had plenty of time.
Well, she didn't have the time that I'm sure the typical candidate would have.
You mean
to prepare for that. But that doesn't mean, I mean, they should have been flooding her with information.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, let's get very clear on where we stand on these particular issues.
I mean, it's one thing to be a placeholder for a few months as a United States senator, but you have to be able to understand complex issues like the U.S. relationship with Taiwan and China. You have to understand those things. I want you to listen to her full answer, because when she did start to answer it, She didn't even address the question. She started talking about her support for the military, which has nothing to do with Taiwan and China. Listen to this. It was painful.
If are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States? And if so, why or how?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security. I'm not that informed on national security. So, but I do support the military. My brother was in the Air Force for 33 years. So I will do everything I can to support the military. My dad was in the Army. I'm not a polished politician up here. National security is not my thing, not my area of expertise, but I do support the military.
Yeah, Darlene, you just look like, you know, you're just so sweet. I was watching that going, oh, man.
And her campaign manager must have been just cringing.
Uncomfortable. So then they bounced over to her opponent and said, Mr. Norman, would you like an opportunity to answer that? And he's sitting there chomping at the bit because he really wanted to tear her up. So here it is. Hang on.
Taiwan's a definite ally, and we have a trading relationship with them that is beneficial to the United States, chips being one of them, and others. So what the president is doing right is he's enabling Taiwan to defend themselves against China. But it's peace through strength that he's showing with Iran that China, Russia, others are looking at it so that they don't want to deal with America, and that's why they haven't attacked Taiwan. If they had some weak Democrat in office like Biden or another Obama, yeah, they'd take it over. But we can't let that happen. We got to take a strong a peace through strength is working.
And peace through strength has always worked. It with the Taiwan issue. Do you see the danger of that question is if she come out and said, we support Taiwan as an independent country. I mean, that would fly directly in the face of longstanding U.S. foreign policy. He answered the question perfectly. Taiwan is an ally. They're a trade partner. We have empowered them to defend themselves, and they know that peace through strength, they have the backing of the United States and not being harassed by China. But he stopped short of saying we consider them an independent country. It was a pretty simple prep work by Darlene Graham's handlers, and they blew the assignment. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that runoff. I think it's coming up on the 28th. It's before the end of the month. So they got maybe another 10 days of that race, and it's about to get ugly. We'll be back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
PETA is offering a reward up to $5,000 if you can help find the person who left guinea pigs to die in the extreme heat. The four guinea pigs were found dumped on the side of the old Highway N near Hawk Ridge Trail at the border of O'Fallon and Lake St. Louis on August 9th. They were found inside these exercise balls. The heat index was over 100 that day. By the time they were found, three of the four guinea pigs had died. The other continues to recover.
All right. Let's just moment of silence for the guinea pigs. All right. That is sad. Who abandons guinea pigs
on
the side
laughing.
Of the road?
I'm not laughing at their death. Our policy was always to just let them die on their own because we've never successfully had one of those little animals in our house that survived that experience. I'm not quite sure why.
I think I went through six hamsters maybe
right.
as a kid. In fact, I do remember that as a kid we had a frog that we got from our backyard and we put it in a big old fish tank right by a big window, a big bay window
yeah.
in our playroom. And we came in one day, I think I told this story before on the air, and the frog was kind of a cracker. He basically got baked alive, I think, because of the sun coming
in.
Oh,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of what they're saying happened here. You have one of those clear, you know, little
exercise
balls that they were in. And it almost makes you think, did somebody, like, were they in a car somehow and they flew out? I don't know. Who just leaves a guinea pig and an exercise ball on the side of the road? Anyway, yes, that is sad for the guinea pig. All right. And I feel like I'm about to tick some people off here with this comment. That's okay. It seems a little ridiculous that PETA's offering a $5,000 reward for information that leads to an arrest and a conviction of the person who left the guinea pigs here.
They are big mad.
That I know they're big mad, but that money could be far better spent on, I don't know, missing children.
Thank you.
Why are we at a point in society where people care more about animals than they do people?
That's nothing new. Over the years, as a reporter, we would cover stories of, you know, people being murdered and people missing and all that stuff. And then we'd cover a story about an animal that was sick or injured, and the GoFundMe page or whatever it is would be triple for the animal what it was for the human. We've seen examples of that before, or where the reward fund for the injured animal to find out whoever did that was twice as much as it was for the, you know, the person that lost their house in a fire. I've seen it again and again. I can't explain that human emotion, but for some reason people step up when it comes to animals.
There was a show called The Daily Blast Live that was talking about this, because like you said, you're right, it's nothing really new, but it seems like it's gotten a little bit worse. But here's their take on why this happens.
Yeah.
I feel like your dog will never, ever do anything but love you, and I think sometimes that's all people want. I think your partner may say, Sam, you really dropped the ball on that. Al, you could have handled that better. You shouldn't have said that. And you feel bad. But when you come home, no matter what happened that day, no matter what you said on DBL, no matter what kind of argument you had in the car, your dog is happy to see you. And I think people just want unfiltered love.
Did you read Richie's comment that just popped up here on YouTube?
Saying what? I care about animals more
than people? No. The subhuman blankety blank who left these animals to die like that, what do you say, needs to suffer the same cruel death. So I think what you didn't see at the bottom of the PETA thing is if they can hand the $5,000 to somebody, they'll double it if you'll also crunch that person up and put them in a little ball and leave them out in the sun.
Well, yeah, why don't you take care of that, Richie?
I'm not making fun of that. I agree that anybody that would do, I'd love to know the details of how that happened. Did a kid do it? I think a lot of people would like an answer to that. It is extraordinarily cruel to do that to those animals.
Of course it's cruel, but my argument really is, again, we care more about people. I'm sorry, we should care more about people. We care more about animals than people. People are made in the image of God. Animals are not. So do I want guinea pigs to suffer and basically bake alive in an exercise ball on the side of the road? Of course not. No. That is inhumane. No one would argue that. And if you would make that argument, well, you might want to ask yourself some serious questions. But it just is sad when you think about how many people prefer animals over children. There was a study that came out that talked about how many more people would prefer to have adult-only restaurants. They would allow dogs, but they wouldn't allow kids. It seems like there's been a shift, and I feel like people, I'm just gonna say this, I know I'm gonna make some of you mad, I feel like there are people who are lonely, who it's like they don't want kids, or I don't know, it's like that becomes the replacement. And I don't know. It's not that animals aren't amazing. I love dogs. I grew up with a dog. I don't have one right now, but I'll tell you what. My husband and I have talked about getting a dog multiple times. I know we want one in the future.
You just need one that likes your spouse.
We're not in the right season of life. Yeah, I did have a dog. In fact,
you did have a dog.
And I will admit, didn't like Michael. I was, I guess, lonely. I mean, it was the height of COVID. We were all told to isolate, you know, and not talk to any humans, basically. And so I adopted a dog who had been abused, Levi, and he had a serious fear of men. And it didn't matter how many men, the guys would try to. I remember one time Michael came over when we were dating, and he made a ton of bacon, like not the little bacon strips. I'm talking like actual legit bacon, trying to win over Levi. We went to dog training sessions with, I mean, we were investing a lot into this.
You didn't get the dog, you didn't bring in Caesar the dog whisperer? You should have done that.
I'm sorry, I missed out on that opportunity. Who is that?
What?
That is not a known thing.
Oh, yes it is.
The dog whisperer?
Caesar Milan?
No.
Caesar, come on. Caesar, he gets his hand bitten sometime, but at the end of the show, the dog's calm, cool, and collected. I don't know how he does it.
I've never heard of that.
I didn't. Wow. That's not old. That guy's still on TV.
Yeah.
You got to Google that. That could have saved your dog.
Not
Caesar
yet.
Milan.
This is definitely new information for me right now. You hadn't heard of the Sunday Scaries the other day. Was that you as well? Have you heard of the Sunday Scaries?
I have not.
No.
What? That's crazy. See, that's wild to me that you've not heard the term Sunday Scaries.
Don't distract from the issue.
I know.
You don't know who Caesar Milan is.
It's deflecting.
Darn straight, I'm deflecting. Anyway, it's just kind of a sad reality that we live in. And I'm not trying to knock people who love their dogs. You should love your dog. Dogs are amazing. I can't wait to have a dog someday. It's just, I guess it's where I feel like people truly just care more about animals than they do people.
If you can be cruel like that to animals and or children, you need to be locked up.
And Debbie's saying that...
Just like Lindsay Clancy needs to be locked up.
You've got some feelings on that? I feel like when I made that argument yesterday...
I'm trying to get you started again.
No, for my second Kim on a Whim at 7:50, if you want to listen to it on the Odyssey app... I don't know how much you really said about that. I think you have some differing feelings about that than I do, about what Matt Walsh said.
No, I don't. I think Matt Walsh went too far. I think you have to acknowledge the seriousness of postpartum depression. But I just don't think... I think people are getting a little carried away. The woman admitted that she killed her children, number one. Number two, she was on 13 different medications as prescribed by different doctors. And there's got to be a medical malpractice suit there somewhere. And there's got to be lessons learned moving forward about how to deal with this very serious form of depression that led her to kill her children. Now people are floating all kinds of weird conspiracy theories that her husband actually did it and set her up. And I mean, come on. She admitted to killing the children. She's sick and twisted and she needs to go to jail for a long time. But that, to me, that's the postpartum thing is a separate discussion. I don't doubt the seriousness of it. That doesn't take away from the fact that she's guilty of murdering her children, in my opinion.
I think she's guilty. No, I think she's guilty too, and she should be punished for it. But no doubt.
But Matt Walsh very clearly said, "This is not an excuse. Postpartum is not an excuse. This is not a thing. Get over it." It was kind of his attitude about it. When there's plenty of evidence that it is a thing. You went through it yourself.
Well, I didn't go through postpartum depression, but I experienced other things that you can feel kind of crazy. For sure.
Okay.
I think people like Matt Walsh they just use such strong words and they act like they're so righteous in saying that. And like, I'm the only brave enough person to say this to women. They need to hear it. And it's not just that. It's things they say to men or to anybody. And you look ridiculous. It's harsh. And it's, especially as a follower of Christ, you're supposed to, it's doing and saying things in love. And I understand that there can be tough love, but that was not it, what Matt Walsh did. And that's not a good representation of someone who's a believer, as a fellow believer myself. It's just not good.
We need to continue that conversation about Lindsay Clancy at some point. There's an article, a headline in the Post, the New York Post today, that Lindsay Clancy ran a road race hours after giving birth, according to her doctor and the defense who testified yesterday.
I saw that, but what does that have to do with postpartum depression? Are they trying to connect the dots there?
Psychiatrist calls it unusual. I guess they're trying to play into the fact that she was really not in her right mind from the minute the child was born. Because a day or two later, she got out and ran a marathon. No, a 5K.
Okay. I cannot imagine a woman doing that.
Hours after giving birth to her youngest child in 2022, months before strangling him and his two siblings with exercise bands in the family's basement.
Yeah, it's unusual. By the way, today is my son Hudson's first birthday. So 1 year ago today, in fact... I had him around 3:30 in the morning, and I woke up this morning, and I'm getting ready, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I had him right here on the bathroom floor, right there.
A year ago. Well, happy birthday to
Hudson.
Are you calling him Huddy? What are you calling him?
I call him Hudson.
Hudson.
Hudsaroni Pony. I have all kinds of names.
You call Easton Easty?
Easty, yeah.
Just wondered.
You know happy you all have weird
Hudson.
Nicknames.
You do.
You can't
we
laugh
all have
at the Hudsaroni Pony.
I can't.
That's funny.
It's cute.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. P initiative reform for redistricting that he's in the middle of a battle over. And there's another one where these leftists, now I'm going to say something that's going to piss some of you off. But anybody who voted against Amendment 4, the group of people you were supporting with your vote, the leftists who always want to change the Missouri Constitution, well, they're at it again. They have initiative petition that they want to be voted on in November, which we could have prevented had you voted for Amendment 4, that would forever permanently ban anybody from restricting initiative petition. So that's where they're going to go. Now that they know that you're on to them and they're afraid the Missouri legislature will continue to try to figure out a way to protect our Constitution, they want to put wording in the Constitution that will never allow that to happen. And Denny Hoskins is the last man standing to protect the state against that nonsense. But this is what leftists do. So, by the way, if you're mad at me for saying that, or you're still happy that you voted against Amendment 4, raise your hand if you can name me the one conservative initiative petition that's on the ballot in November. Name me one. Name me any that was citizen-driven. There aren't any because conservatives don't use that process to try to change the Constitution. We do it legislatively. And the left uses that process to do an end run around your elected representatives. And we tried to stop them from doing that, but you voted no on Amendment 4. And now, if they win this court battle with Denny Hoskins, the game is over. Just so you know, we'll talk more about it at the top of the hour. We'll be back in a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.